For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They're all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. You see, if it's really wisdom, it's going to be simple, and it'll appeal to the simple. I'm thankful God did not make the gospel to appeal to folk that have just a high IQ. If he did, many folk would just be left out altogether. But this is a message to the simple, and it really is a simple message. Wisdom is not as complicated as people seem to think that it is. Wisdom now is making a final plea, and almost a desperate plea, for the young man to come to her school and to turn in and to receive instruction from her. And the things that are being said are tremendous things. Now, there are many folk today that talk about the errors in the Bible and the problems. I know there are several books out that deal with problem scriptures. And I recognize that to an intelligent person, there are problems. But the problem is not in the Word of God. The problem is in the mind of you and me, to tell the truth. I had a lot of problems at the beginning. I still have a few, but the problem is not in the Word of God. The problem is in the mind and heart of man. God says there's nothing twisted or perverse in the words of wisdom. And the very interesting thing is that these things that men call deep and profound today are not always that. Now, when I went through school, I had the same viewpoint that a lot of these young fellows have today, that I probably knew it all. We had a lecturer that came to the seminary. He was a very brilliant man. And I'll be very frank with you, he was speaking right over the top of my head. And I went to the man that was probably the most brilliant professor in the school. In fact, he's considered one of the outstanding scholars of the South, even to this day. And I went to him and I said, "Doctor, I'm not getting very much out of these lectures, and I must confess that they are over my head." And I said, "I always had a viewpoint that I could understand anything that any man had to say, and I'm not getting it." And I never shall forget what this man said to me. He said, "Vernon," he says, "you know, when a pool is clear, you can see 60 feet in that pool to the bottom. But," he says, "when it's muddy, you can't see the bottom of a horse hoof in the middle of a muddy road." Well, you know, that answered it for me. And when anyone says today, "Well, you know, there are certain intellectual problems I have with the Bible. I just don't seem to be able to understand the Bible." Now, let me be very frank with you. The problem, my friends, not with the Bible. The problem is with you. There's a very remarkable passage of Scripture that we've looked at when we studied 2 Corinthians, and I've referred to it many times. I'll continue to refer to it. I think it's absolutely profound and yet very simple. It's in the third chapter of 2 Corinthians, verse 14. I'll begin reading there. He says, well, let me move back to verse 13. "And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ." Now there's a veil over their eyes. And immediately somebody will say, "Well, if there's a veil over the eyes, they can't see it, and they're not responsible." And that's what a great many are saying today. "There's a veil over my eyes. I don't quite understand that." That's not your problem, friend. Let's now face right up to it, that the veil has been done away in Christ. "But even unto this day now," verse 15, "when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart." Well, He says the veil is there upon their heart. What about that? Nevertheless, this is verse 16. This is the one that's important. When it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. When it, what does he mean by it? Well, it refers back to the last principal subject, and that was the heart. When the heart, nevertheless, when the heart shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. References back now to the heart. When the heart shall turn to the Lord. Now, you see, your problem is not head trouble. It's heart trouble. There's a lot of heart trouble today. And let's get right down now where the rubber meets the road, right where you're living. You say you got intellectual problems. You have none. Your problem is that there's sin in your life, and you don't want to give it up. There are things in your life that you would not want to change. You are not willing to bow your head and your heart and come to Jesus Christ. That's your problem. When you're willing to, you notice, nevertheless, when the heart shall turn to the Lord, when you're ready to turn to Him, it's amazing what'll happen. The veil shall be taken away. These things that are problems will be removed. I heard of a great mind and man of the Middle Ages who said, I had many problems until I came to Christ. Yes, you'll have a lot of problems, intellectual ones, but the problem is really heart trouble when you're ready to come to Christ. Because, you see, He's made it clear in His Word. You can't misunderstand the gospel. It's deliberate, willful resistance of the gospel. And that is the reason that when I was a pastor, I use the Word of God more or less like a Geiger counter. I just taught the Word of God. You know, you take a Geiger counter along, and you can tell when there's uranium there if you've got a Geiger counter. But the Word of God is just like that. I take that along, you know, in the church, and you come to one individual, and my, the little arrow just jumps up and down, and there's a recording taking place. They love the Word of God. The Word of God is a Geiger counter, you see. But I go over some, and they had pious expressions. And they had a fundamental vocabulary. But, you know, just dead as it could be, they never came on Wednesday evening. And if they did, they resisted the Word of God. And, you know, that little group, you find them everywhere today. They resist the Word of God. And somebody says, why didn't you deal with them? I let God do that. It's amazing the things that happen as you go along. How God moves into this family. How He deals with this member and that member. And then this very arrogant young man, he runs off with another woman, leaves his wife, and it happens again and again. May I say to you, there was sin in the life. That's the problem today. I emphasize that because, my friend, God's made it very clear. There's nothing twisted or perverse in the words of God. He's made it clear, friends. He tells you that He doesn't like sin. Maybe you do, and you won't like God, and you won't like the preacher that's giving out the Word of God. My, how you'll resist him. How many wonderful preachers across this country today giving out the Word of God, and you've got that little group resisting the Word of God. Oh, they have a vocabulary. They sound as pious as punch. My, to listen to them talk, you think that they've just shined their halo and they're going to take off any moment, flapping their wings. But they just don't happen to be that way underneath.